I would like for you to get your Bibles out this morning, and I would like for you to turn in the Gospel of John to chapter 7. John chapter 7. I thank God for His Word. It's life. His Word is full of life. One time there was a man who had a vision, and when he had this vision of the Word of God, and he was looking on his desk, and he saw his Bible there, and when he saw the Bible, he saw it going in and out like it was breathing. And when he had seen that vision, he asked the Lord, "Lord, what does that mean?" And the Lord spoke to him and said, "My word has life." Amen. Praise the Lord. John chapter 7, I would like us to read from John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. And it says this, I am reading from the Modern English Version. It says, "On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart,'" or if you have a King James, "out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. By this he spoke of the Spirit whom those who believe in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." Verse 37 and 38 again, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or innermost belly shall flow rivers of living water." And I wanted to speak with you this morning on the subject of rivers of living water. Let's pray. I pray, Lord, that you would bring life to your word once again today. I do thank you, Lord, for how you confirm your word, Lord God, in many ways. And Lord, I pray that your word would bring life to your hearers today. And I pray that you would help me, Lord God, to speak your heart to this, your people. Remove distractions out of our minds and help us to hear what says the Lord. And so we thank you for all that you will do. We commit the preaching of your word into your hand in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen and amen. This portion of scripture in the Gospel of John finds Jesus coming into the celebration of a Jewish feast known as the Feast of Tabernacles. The Jewish way of saying it is Sukkot, S-U-K-K-O-T. This Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was a feast that was celebrated from the time of their exodus out of Egyptian bondage. Moses was the deliverer that God raised up to bring the people out of Egyptian bondage after 10 plagues that affected Egypt. The Israelites were released and they eventually left. And during that time that they were wandering around the wilderness and also leaving their Egyptian captivity, the Lord instituted a feast for the Israelites to celebrate from that time even until now. The Jews even today celebrate Sukkot or the Feast of Tabernacles. And it's a time that they celebrate their departing from Egyptian bondage, their fact that they were not at their home and they were traveling fast. And even today, they still will celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, even today in these Jewish quarters around the country and around the world. In New York City, they will set up in their homes a kind of tent, a makeshift tent. Those of you that like to build, I know like my kids, they like to build sometimes a little fort in the house. And what the Jews do is they build like a fort. They put like trees and weeds around and different things to show that they were running away but hiding under a tabernacle. And this celebration was also celebrated in such a way that the festivities included a time when the priest, the high priest, would go down into the foothills of Mount Moriah, down below the city of David, and there would be a spring in the valley. It was a spring called Shiloh. And this spring that has been there for many, many years is located in the shadow of the Holy Temple. It is still there to this day. And it has always had a spiritual significance for Israel because that spring is the source of Jerusalem's water. And when they would celebrate this feast, when they had the temple there in Jerusalem, they continued to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. The high priest would leave, and there would be a procession made, and he would have a kind of vase or a kind of container, and he would go down into that spring and get a pitcher full or a vial full of water from that spring. And then he would begin his ascension back up towards the temple, every eye upon him. As the festival would continue, and he would have this flask full of pure water, he would carry the flask, and there would be song. There would be singing going on. There would be worship towards God, and they would be gathered all around and watching as the high priest would enter into the temple and eventually go towards the altar. And as he would enter the gate, the steps of the high priest was greeted by the sound of trumpets or the shofar. And if you've heard that shofar blast, there was a lot of joy, a lot of exhilaration, a lot was going on. As the priest had got this water, is walking into the temple, his steps are now going into the temple, and there is this shout, there is this voluminous noise going on. And once the priest was in the temple, he had the honor of performing the service of carrying a golden flask to the altar ramp, and he would do all of this on this day. It would occur every day of the feast. The Feast of Tabernacles took place 7 days, and eventually they added an eighth day. It is believed that it was on this seventh day, the great day of the feast, that this whole procession was taking place. So imagine in your minds, as the high priest has entered into the temple, the shofars are blowing, and there is this statement in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. It says, "With joy you shall draw water out of the wells of salvation." When he walks into the temple and the shofars are sounding, there is joy in the temple of God. There is a rejoicing in the Lord. And all of a sudden, the priest goes and he gets that water and he pours it over the altar. And there is great rejoicing and celebration in the holy temple. It was this joy that was so immense and so uplifting that Israel and those sages of Israel stated, "Whoever has never seen the celebrations of the festival of the water of libation has never experienced true joy in his life." The joy and the exuberation of that time was a time of great celebration. The pouring out of this water into the temple basin that was there inside the temple brought great joy and happiness. And it was something that they celebrated every year. And it was after this time that they would do the great Hallel, they call it. It's like a big hallelujah, H-A-L-L-E-L, a big time of jubilation. They would pour it out, and all of a sudden there would be a sobering silence that would fall on the crowd. The water has just been poured out. There is joy and expectation. And now a silence has covered the masses that are there in celebration. And it was at this time that Jesus stood up. And he cried out with a loud voice. And he said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Can you imagine if you were there along with the masses, beholding the beauty of this ceremony? You see this water that has been pulled out of a spring and poured out in the temple as an offering, as a celebration. And to be honest with you, that gathering of that water from the spring and being poured out in the temple was a significant reminder of when Moses struck the rock and water came out of that rock to supply those that were thirsty. The significance is really beyond compare. For everything that they were watching in this celebration, as the high priest carried that water, as there was joy in the house, was actually picturesque of what Jesus himself had come to offer. Jesus alone is able to satiate the thirst and the longings of humankind. Jesus alone is going to bring true satisfaction to your and to my life. He alone can do that. Wealth and riches, good jobs, family members, and all of these good things will not satiate that thirst of the human heart. But Jesus stood up there, and every ear heard his voice. And he said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he that believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water." The description here is really amazing. For this living water that Jesus gives to you and to me is something that will flow out of you and me. It's an amazing thought to think that this living water is going to flow out of our bellies, out of our hearts. That God wants to make you to experience this joy beyond compare. And he is going to do that, and to be honest with you, if you hear me right, has done that by giving to you and me the Holy Spirit. For he said, the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But then John gives a slight clarification. For at this moment when Jesus stood and cried, the greater fulfillment of this still hadn't occurred. But he said, by this he spoke of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit who would be given to those that would put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He says, by this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believe in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. That does not mean the Holy Spirit wasn't active in the world. But a whole new era of the Spirit was about to break loose on humankind. And it would be done through the finished work of Calvary, where through the cross, Jesus would cleanse those that would put their faith and their trust in Jesus, would cleanse them thoroughly from all sinfulness, and make them the temple of God's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has made his entrance into our hearts. He has come into our lives to give us true and lasting joy. But the Holy Spirit in our hearts is not just to come and make a kind of bed in our hearts and sleep there. The Holy Spirit is God Almighty, and he is very active in our world. He is Almighty God. And the Holy Spirit dwelling within us is not just to be housed, but ultimately to overflow and to impact those around us. Amen. You're living in the Spirit. You're walking in the Spirit. Your relationship with God Almighty is going to be like a spring, a river of living water that is going to flow from you and is going to flow into our communities and into our San Luis Valley and the world ultimately. You are God's vessels. I am God's vessel, and we must be overflowing with God's river of living water. Amen? For since Calvary, and because of what Jesus did there, he has made you and me the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that when that priest came out with that flask of pure water from a spring, went into the temple, isn't it? That water going into the temple. It's also significant that when Moses struck the rock has always been a type of Christ. And when the rock was struck, that means or is significant of the cross. It was after the striking of the rock, the water came gushing out of that rock. And it's since Calvary and because of the cross of Calvary and what Jesus did there, that the Holy Spirit is now been given to man, to those that believe in Jesus. The Holy Spirit is a man. I mean, not a man, is God, I should say. He's a person, is what I was trying to say. And He dwells within our hearts. And He wants to live that abundant life through us. And it should be our prayer, oh God, fill me with more of the Holy Spirit. Our generation needs more of the Holy Spirit. I thank God for our educational facilities. I thank God for our universities. I thank God for our learning. We're one of the most educated generations that has ever existed. But with all of our learning, we need the Holy Spirit. Our generation needs a moving of the Holy Spirit. For you see, it's not going to be our headiness that's going to deliver those that are bound with drugs and alcohol and vices that only God can deliver them from. I was recently listening to a sermon by David Wilkerson entitled A Call to Anguish. I'd encourage you, if you want to go online and search it out, listen to it. It's a stirring message. But he was talking about the reality of the fact that it takes a point where God grips the human heart and the human soul in such a way that our lives are so given over to God that God can flow through us like a stream of living water. Our world is thirsty. It is thirsty. And it is only God that can meet the need of that human heart. And God uses people to do it. And that's you and me. Don't ever think that you're not able to be used by the Holy Spirit. You can. God uses people. And people are human. And humans are not perfect. But we have been perfected by the blood of Jesus in the sight of God. So that you and me, we can be vessels of the living God in our generation. We can be vessels of the living God here in Center Colorado. Here in the San Luis Valley. Wherever we are, we can be a vessel for that area. There are certain people that only you can reach. There are certain people I will never come in contact with that you will. But you pray in your heart, God, use me. Let me be a vessel of your use. Let me be usable for you. Don't think you can't be used. Share your faith. Share your testimony. Share Jesus. Just share a simple God bless you. A simple God loves you. Just whatever it may be. I was recently reading a thing, and with this I'll close. There was a gentleman who lived there in Australia. And this man was not really highly educated, but there was a time in his life when he was confronted with the gospel and was born again. Before that, he didn't care anything about the gospel. But when he was saved, he had so given his life to God that he said within his heart to God, he said, Lord, every day of my life until the day that I die, I am going to witness to 10 people. 10 people. And so in that town where he lived in Australia, he would go to the street and to the open square, and he would see people, and he would have tracts in his pocket, gospel tracts, T-R-A-C-T-S, tracts. And he would go to people, strangers, people that looked wealthy, people that didn't look so well. It didn't matter who they were all people. And he would go and tap them on the shoulder. He would say, excuse me. And he'd put this tract in their hand. And he would say, do you know Jesus? If you die today, do you know if you will go to heaven? And he would leave them with the tract. After praying and all of that, 10 people a day. Every day. And there were times that in his mind, he didn't even know if there was any effect to what he did. But then there was a Baptist minister who began to hear these stories about this man in Australia who would who had shared his faith, who had shared a gospel, shared the gospel with them, and how they got saved. There was a man who was a very successful person who had some business to do in Australia, happened to be walking through there. This man said, "Hey, if you died tonight, do you know if you're going to make it to heaven?" Gave him a gospel tract. That man stayed thinking, "What was that?" But it didn't let go. He was in his hotel room and it kept bothering him. He ended up going back to where he was originally from and talked to a pastor that he was near, and the pastor led him to Jesus and he got saved. Then there was another gentleman, and then another one, and then the Baptist ministry eventually figured out that 144,000 people came to faith in Jesus Christ through the ministry of that one gentleman who said, "I'm going to witness to 10 people." And all he told them was, "If you died tonight, do you know if you're going to go to heaven?" Gave them a gospel tract. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. And He can use you to be a vessel of light here in the darkness. These are rivers of living water. A never-ending supply. Always available. And He wants to use you and He wants to use me. It's not only the pastor that does this. You are a vessel too. We are all in it together. Simply a simple "God bless you" can say a lot. A kind deed can do a lot. But with all of that, share the gospel. God loves those people. It's never in vain. That word will not return void. Let's stand.